Ashes come and go, and I'm forever grateful. Come and tell me long and slow exactly what I wait for. Better times, yeah, better times. Somehow I don't believe it. I built a house up long ago just to up and leave it.
All right, welcome back to another episode of On the Wing Podcast. I've got Ariel Wiechard, Vice President of Government Affairs, Ryden co-host. Right. Welcome, Ariel.
Thank you, Bob. Always a pleasure.
And we have a real honor today. We are in the Senate Heart Build, the Heart Senate Building, with U.S. Senator and Chair of the Senate Agriculture Committee, Debbie Stabenow. So I need
it's
like
good
five.
To be with you.
Well, thank you for joining.
Absolutely.
I need like 15 minutes to read your bio.
No,
here.
No. You don't need to read it. You don't need
it. Yeah. It's really, I mean, what you've accomplished over the years is incredible. So let me just mention a few things. First off, just earlier this year, you were recognized by Michigan Pheasants Forever.
Yes.
With the prestigious Conservation Champion Award for all your work over the years. You were the first female U.S. Senator to the state of Michigan.
Yep.
Say yeah to the UPA.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Our listeners know I'm a Michigander.
Absolutely, which is the most important thing. This is why I'm talking to you today, because you're from the UP.
My mom and dad will be very proud. Thank you. As I was researching this on your website, something that, as a Uper, I have to thank you for. You have Isle Royal on the map of Michigan, which...
it's so gorgeous.
Let's be honest. This never happens for us.
This is so gorgeous. And anyone who's not been up to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, you have really missed a lot. You need to get up there. It's absolutely gorgeous, really, any time of year. And whether it's Isle Royal, whether it's Pictured Rocks in Munising, whether, you know, our forests, which are phenomenal, we're surrounded by the Lake Superior, one of the five deepest, biggest lakes in the world, and it's a gorgeous place.
I want you on my Trivial Pursuit team, right? So the focus of today's conversation is your role as the chair of the Senate Ag Committee, which you've been the chair a number of times, right?
I have. I was 2011 the first time, and then I was a ranking member. So when the gavel passed from Democrat to Republican, I became the ranking member and partner of Senator Roberts, and then we're back in the majority, so I'm back chairing it again.
And so we're going to spend a fair amount of time on that.
Sure.
I do want to kind of start with your roots.
Sure.
In Clare, Michigan.
Yes.
Which, us Michiganders, we have a map.
We have maps. We have two maps.
we have two maps.
The UP. Yeah.
Right? And I'm from the left hand.
Right.
And you're from
the
right hand.
Yeah.
And if you're thinking about the mitten of Michigan, Clare is in the geographical, almost dead center.
Yeah. We call it Gateway to the North. When I was growing up, there were all these big signs that said Gateway to the North. So
are you up for a little game of 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon?
Sure. Absolutely.
Ariel's just rolling her eyes like, I can't believe we're going here. But here we go.
Here we go.
I used to work in baseball before working for Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever. And I always have a baseball nugget in, sometimes it's an analogy, sometimes it's a story, but it's always in the podcast. And as I was looking up Clare, Michigan, forgive me, I didn't know a lot about Clare. I looked up Clare, and Wikipedia has notable people from Clare, Michigan. And obviously, at the top of the list is Senator Debbie Stabenow. Number two is a person I worked with for 7 years in minor league baseball.
Oh my gosh.
Minnesotans would know him as Twig. His name is Wayne Terwilliger.
Oh, my gosh.
He was at the flag raising at Iwo Jima.
Yes.
He was the second baseman backup to Jackie Robinson with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And Minnesotans know him because he was the first base coach. Beloved first base coach for the 1987 fantastic. Twins and the 1991
so
Twins.
Fantastic.
And I worked with them in minor league baseball for 7 years. And just if all the people from Clare, Michigan are like Twig and you, like the world would be a much more harmonious place.
You know, we have great people that come from Clare, you know, great people, talented people. And I never met Twig, but I heard a lot about him.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful person.
Yes, exactly. In fact, he passed away just a couple of years ago.
He did. Yeah. He did. 95 years old, so he had a good run. But yeah,
that's
he was
great.
A wonderful man. Clare, Michigan, how did that, growing up in Clare, shape your role as a senator, which you've been a champion for, the outdoors, clean
absolutely.
Water?
Absolutely.
How did your roots shape?
Well, I think it makes all the difference. I mean, growing up in Clare, my dad was an avid hunter and fisherman, and, you know, I went out hunting pheasant with him, and of course, we were always fishing. My brothers and I. One thing about Michigan is that you're never more than 6 miles away from a body of water. So it may not be the Great Lakes, but it's a lake, a river.
There's the Trivial Pursuit winner.
Exactly.
Six miles
away from a body of water. And we were on them all the time. And
yeah.
So during the summer, it was swimming, it was fishing, it was in the fall. Yeah, it is. Was hunting or just being outside in the winter. It was, you know, snowmobiling and skiing and ice skating.
Yeah.
So we were outside, it seems like, as kids all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't farmers. We were in town. My dad and my grandpa had this old David. The Oldsmobile dealership.
Mm-hmm.
They were car dealers. My mom was director of nursing at the small hospital there in Clare. But my relatives were in agriculture. So my uncle was a dairy farmer. But we always had great outdoor spaces. You know, my aunt had a horse. We were out riding the horse. We were everything related to being outdoors. And so that's a very big part of my life. And it's what I love.
Yeah. And when, you know, in your role as the chair of the Senate Ag Committee, you know, you've talked with people multiple times across the country about their connection to
yes.
agriculture. How often does the intersection to hunting and fishing come up in those conversations?
You know, it comes up sometimes, but sometimes I have to prompt that as well. Mm. I don't know if people connect all of that. I mean, when I talk about the conservation title, which is so critical in the Farm Bill,
yeah.
Title II, yep. And I think it was, you know, this is the third Farm Bill I've led, and the first one that we passed in 2014, if I remember right, was the first time we had the Title II actually had more funding in it than Title I,
right.
The commodity
yep.
title. And so, and that was a really important priority for me because conservation affects everybody.
Yeah.
But when I was explaining it to them, it was also that, yes, it's about farmers and ranchers, but it's also about everyone who cares about the outdoors. It's about hunters. It's about anglers. It's about protecting wildlife. It's protecting habitat,
yeah.
Protecting land. And so some people know that right off, but then when I explain to them, everybody goes, oh, of course,
mm-hmm.
of course.
Yeah, and it's intuitive, but so on your website, you list the environment in the Great Lakes and as a top priority for you. To me, that also speaks to why it's so important for you to have this role as chair in the Agriculture
yes.
Committee, too,
yeah.
because you have the ability to influence the environment in the Great Lakes through agriculture.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, surrounded by the Great Lakes, 95% of the country's freshwater surrounds us in Michigan.
Yeah.
We have a special responsibility. And so whether it's my hat on protecting the Great Lakes, co-chairing the bipartisan task force, where I authored what's called the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative back in 2010, permanent funding to tackle the things in the Great Lakes, invasive species mm-hmm. and runoff. But in agriculture then, one of the things I created in 2014 was the Regional Conservation
RCPP.
RCPP.
Our favorite acronym.
Yes.
Well,
second
CRP.
CRP is the most
RCPP
yeah, you know.
Is the most singable. Let's
yes,
say that.
I know. What? But the idea was to promote opportunities between the public and private sector for to deal with larger issues.
Yeah.
You know, like one of the first projects was in the Bay. It was Saginaw Bay, and so looking at those larger kinds of efforts. So I've tried to meld the importance of land conservation with water conservation, and it's a very important partnership.
Yeah. So over time, so I've worked for Pheasants Forever and Quail forever, 22 years.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I started when I was 12.
Of course. So just, oh, me too.
And over time, you know, it was always explained to me, well, the conservation title on the Farm Bill is the most bipartisan piece of legislation that there is in Washington, D.C. Like, it's not a Republicans versus, like, we can find harmony here. Is that still true today in 2024?
Well, first of all, the whole Farm Bill process, much to my dismay, has become more partisan. It's very frustrating to me because we've always prided ourselves at leaving politics at the door of the Ag Committee, and unfortunately it's gotten in a number of ways. But conservation has strong support on all sides. The challenge for us, and this is where it's unfortunate, my team put together what is the new conservation money that was passed in the Inflation Reduction Act, almost $20 billion, unheard of for what we call climate smart agriculture and forestry and so on. And because that was part of a big bill that ended up in a partisan vote, with Democrats voting yes, Republicans voting no, there's now been this instinct to oppose all these dollars. These dollars that go directly to farmers, directly, you know, there's nothing more local than farmers having voluntary programs to be able to help fund conservation on their land. So I keep trying to get beyond that. Like, let's just look at the money. We'll never have, it'll be years, if maybe ever, that we get that level of additional money that we can put in the Farm Bill. And so, you know, we've in the bill, you know, that I've put forward, increase the conservation title by 40%, 40%.
And acres.
By putting all of these dollars into the long-term Farm Bill, which means that they run out and add money forever because it's called being in the baseline. And the challenge that we're having is that colleagues on the other side of the aisle, they're happy to have the funds, but they don't want the whole program. And part of this is just identifying a focus on those things that sequester carbon and, you know, address the climate crisis, which is hitting farmers right over the head. And it really doesn't affect what they do. 49 of the top 50 different programs in conservation are funded through this money. So it's not a real issue. It's unfortunately just become, this money was created, you know, only with Democrats. So, you know, we want to change it. And so we've got to get beyond that because as a practical matter, I want to make sure that money is in the Farm Bill.
Because it's in danger of disappearing.
Yeah, it is. It is. And if we, you know, think the money will be used for conservation, but if we can put it in the baseline, spread it out over the next 10 years, then it's counted in future farm bills. And so that's what we need to do.
Well, and one of the things that we're really excited about with this approach is this long-term investment in conservation,
Absolutely.
Right? We know that farmers love doing things for 3 years or 5 years for conservation purposes. We really want to see these long-term investments in conservation. And that's one of the reasons that the Conservation Reserve Program, CRP, is our favorite program in the Farm Bill. Thank you so much for the investments, and thank you to your staff as well for some of the new investments that you're making.
Well, we need to add, you know, our bill adds 2 million acres, and frankly, we need to keep adding acres because we've lost a lot of acres.
We can't have enough.
And so I want to keep doing that, you know, as much as possible. And again, it is about long term. What I've done in the last two farm bills that I've been in leadership on is look for ways to get beyond every 5 years trying to find money for conservation in the different programs, and and make them long-term and do what's called baseline. If you create money that runs out over 10 years, then it's locked in and it's always in the Farm Bill. And we have almost all of our programs now, and with intentionality. I mean, we have done everything we can to have them be permanent, long-term. And that's because, you know, I've really made it a priority.
So our listeners, our Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever members, and upland bird hunters across the country, and it, you know, honestly, all sorts of hunters, whitetail hunters, duck hunters, they love CRP.
Yeah.
It creates habitat. It's the foundation for walk-in programs, VPA HIP. And the Farm Bill is in danger of not being passed right now. And with that, hopes and dreams of big bucks and being able to chase bird dogs across the Great Plains and, you know, all these things are standing in limbo. What is your prognostication for what's going to happen? And is there anything that listeners of this podcast, members of our organizations, can do to help get it passed, get the bill passed, to ensure that this habitat remains on the ground and actually that there's more of it?
Well, we absolutely need a farm bill, and nothing would please me more than to get this done by the end of the year. I'm retiring at the end of the year, and so
congratulations.
Yes,
by the way.
Well, I would, you know, certainly love, you know, to have one more opportunity to lock in conservation money. It's incredibly important to do that, and I would say that. It's an interesting situation because the money that we got in the Inflation Reduction Act, the about $20 billion, actually was passed outside the Farm Bill. So interestingly, that does continue until the funds run out, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. We'll continue, you know, do some continuation on the conservation title, but we don't get the full benefit of bringing that into the Farm Bill.
We
lose the baseline. We lose the opportunity. We lose the opportunity to get more CRP acres. So what we need is to have strong voices saying we need not only to get a Farm Bill done, because we can say there should be a Farm Bill, and everybody will go, oh, yes, yes,
right.
There
it's
should
like
be
Mom
a Farm Bill.
Apple pie.
You know, what I need is help saying we need that conservation money put in the baseline, that folks are fine with including the language around climate, because it's just doing what farmers already do, you know, keeping carbon in the ground and, you know, healthy soil projects and no-till and, you know, cover crops. And it's what they're doing anyway. Mm. And so let's stop sort of this ideological debate and say, practically speaking, we want this money protected long-term. And so it's not just get a Farm Bill. It's that we want this conservation money in its entirety protected in the Farm Bill, and that you're fine with taking it from the IRA and just putting it in as it is. That's what we need to be doing.
As we wrap up, Ariel, I know I've, you know, it's been a Michigan love fest here. So
it's a beautiful thing to watch.
Questions that you have before we run out of time here?
No, I think we've covered sort of the hot topics. You've given us some marching orders, which we appreciate. And, you know, I think that you're, you know, you keep coming back to this concept of voluntary incentive-based
yes.
conservation. I mean, maybe just talk a little bit about that and the importance, not just for sportsmen, but for our farmers, for our rural communities, how
right.
this works, right? We don't take a regulatory approach here when
right.
it comes to conservation. We are working with
totally.
With our producers.
Totally.
Right?
In fact, I stress this all the time. You know, the EPA does regulations and telling folks what they can do, what they can't do. In U.S. Department of Agriculture, we don't do that. It's all voluntary. It's all driven by farmers. It's all driven by ranchers and working with conservation groups and you know, hunters and anglers and putting together partnerships and so on. But if somebody doesn't want to do it, they're not required. They're, you know, they. But if they want to, we'll share the cost. It costs to do these things. And so we'll, as a federal government, because it's important, put up part of the cost. And so that's the way we do it, is through incentives. And that's so important, because I keep hearing from colleagues on the other side of the aisle, well, we want local control. Well, sure. I don't know anything more local than the farmer making the decision. You know, that's probably as local as you get. And so it's, you know, we just need to get back to the basics here. This is an opportunity to add voluntary funding to something that everybody loves and to get beyond the politics and the ideology and everything and just get it done. And that's what I'm trying to do.
It does. So we've talked with your colleagues on the other side of the aisle, too. And it is interesting that the key messages, they mesh up. I mean, they really do. Voluntary conservation is good for everybody. It helps water quality.
Right.
It's part of the fabric of rural America.
Yep.
Everybody who's a farmer and rancher, most of them hunt and fish and care about the outdoors.
Absolutely.
It's just, you know, for the average youper, you know, North Dakota and South Dakota, what can they do to help bridge this divide that exists today in America, where it does seem like it's party politics, even when there's so much perceived agreement?
I think it's important to look at really the facts of what's really happening. The House passed a bill out of committee, almost completely partisan, not quite. But it doesn't include our dollars for conservation in the way that we're going to be able to protect this and keep this and get bipartisan support. It doesn't. So saying to the House members, please make sure that you are, you know, including the dollars and the language supporting the program and so on in the bill that you have, so that this is not an issue. This should not be an issue when we're talking about differences between the House and the Senate. And so far, it is an issue. And so being very specific, it's not just we support conservation money, that we want the new dollars that have been created, put into the Farm Bill. We're fine with the language that comes with it because it doesn't hurt anything we're trying to do. Without that language, we lose votes. I mean, the whole point of a Farm Bill is to gain votes, not lose votes. We have a coalition, a broad coalition, a farm and food coalition and environmentalists and conservationists and you know, hunting and anglers and biofuels. And I mean, I could go on and on. And that's how you get a Farm Bill. But it has to be done in a way that brings votes. And right now, the way the House has crafted the conservation title, it loses votes. So doesn't have to. Pretty easy to fix. So let's just do something that embraces the totality of what's on the books in terms of the new conservation money.
Yeah, let's get it fixed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you so very much.
My pleasure.
For sharing your time, and thank you for the career you've put in for conservation.
My pleasure.
You've been a champion for conservation, for the Farm Bill, and for our organization. So on behalf of all of our members, thank you.
Well, I love working with you. I love, you know, working with all of your members. We're so proud of Michigan. We happen to think we're, you know, the best in the country.
Well, let's go get that Farm Bill.
Yes,
and then enjoy retirement,
yes,
Senator.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was Chair of the Senate Ag Committee, Senator Debbie Stabenow. For Ariel Wiegard, Vice President of Government Affairs, I'm Bob St. Pierre, reminding you to always follow the dog. Something good will rise. Thanks, folks.